When Holly Eliff was pregnant with her fourth child, she found herself wondering if God would provide. What would her family have to give up in order to feed four kids?
We have to get on the same page with God about what really is a blessing and what isn't. Because in my vocabulary, that was not necessarily a blessing, but God knew that it was.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, October 25th. Nancy's been in a series called The Lord's Prayer, Part 2. If you missed any of the program over the last couple of days, I hope you'll visit reviveourhearts.com and hear what Nancy had to say about the phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread." The teaching will affect the way you view income, bills, careers, children, and the future. It's been very powerful. We'll hear from Nancy Lee DeMoss in a few minutes. First, a group of women have been listening to this series with us. We'll hear how this teaching has been affecting them, beginning with Holly Eliff.
I started thinking about the fact that there is more in Scripture about what we would call maintenance issues in life, finances, our possessions. There's more said in Scripture about that than about heaven and hell. And so obviously, Jesus was very intentional when he included that line in this prayer because he knew so much of our life was going to be consumed with the acquisition of those needs of things. I was thinking about the fact that it's the number one cause of divorce. That's the number one thing listed.
Money.
In
financial.
Divorce is financial pressure. Even among Christians, that statistic is the same. In marriage counseling, that's the number one issue that is a pressure, is that people are struggling with the whole concept of not thinking they have daily bread, even as believers.
And I know you women have seen God provide. We talked about Elijah and the ravens, and that's an Old Testament story, and people don't think of that as being very contemporary or current. But as I've been around you women, I know that you have had your own encounters with God's ability to provide in supernatural ways, and you have seen him give daily bread as you've needed it.
There, when you mention that, there's just so many memories that flood my mind that I know I couldn't begin to sit here and tell you all of the times he's provided. One three-week stretch where we were in Bible college and we had no money for meat, no money for anything, and we were living off of canned vegetables that my husband had received from a country church where he had held a revival. And for 3 weeks, we kept waiting and waiting until we could have enough money for meat. And I remember being invited over to a pastor's house. They had just barbecue beef sandwiches. And I know, and they didn't know me very well. And I'm sure they thought I was the biggest glutton in the world because when I saw that meat, I ate three of those barbecue beef sandwiches after another. But in that semester, as we kept crying out to God and asking for him to provide, I remember at one point when we did receive some extra income, God made it very clear we were to pass that on to another couple there that was having such a difficult time also. And I remember a little bit of struggle in my heart, at least. My husband, it didn't seem to be a problem at all. And I, are you sure you're hearing from the Lord? You know, we've been asking for this money, and he gave us this money. No, I know where to give this. And it was a $100 bill, and he took it in a sack of potatoes to their house to give to them. It was within the week that we went to our mailbox, and there were two $1,000 cashier checks that were sent to us from another state. To this day, we don't know who it came from. We don't know where it came from, but we knew it was from God's hand, his hand of provision. And I could tell you story after story after story how he's provided for us in that way in our lives.
We have so often seen God provide so many times, just miraculously. And probably the most recent thing that happened to us was that my second daughter is getting married. We were looking for a wedding dress, had no budget for a wedding dress, but I had spoken at a women's retreat. And so I had this little small amount of money, and I said, okay, well, we will designate this for the dress. And someone had told us about a bridal place to go to, and we went, and they gave us a little form as we went in that had these amounts starting with $6,000 to $9,000, and you checked the little box you wanted, your dress, to the price range you wanted your dress to be in.
Like someone would actually check $6,000 to $9,000?
Well, no, there's a whole floor for people who check $6,000 to $9,000. Our budget was not on this little form. And so we checked the lowest box, and I think your salesperson is designated by which box you check. But we checked the lowest box, and as we were given our salesperson, I said to her, we're probably going to need to see if you have a sales rack or something. She totally did not respond to that at all. Took us to the least expensive dresses on the first floor. $6,000 to $9,000 is on the fourth floor. And so as the salesperson sensed that we were getting ready to leave, she said, you're not going to purchase any of these? And I said, well, unless there's a sales rack that you forgot to show us or something that we missed, then probably not. And she said, well, just a minute. And then she proceeded to lead us up the stairs to the attic. And in the attic, there was a room full of dresses, Becca's size, regular bridal dresses, but the price was half of half.
Probably just last season's.
And long story short, Becca found a beautiful dress for just slightly less than our budget. Mm. And the Lord provided a beautiful dress for her that fit perfectly. And it was as if the Lord just said, I'm going to take care of what you need, and even for this wedding. And to Becca, who is marrying a seminary student, it just said to her, I'm going to provide what you need, even as you walk into this marriage without a lot of financial support, I'm going to be there to give you what you need to supply and be the provider for every need.
I have a ham and a turkey story. I'll tell you the ham story. I have a stepbrother that had a relative from another state die, and they were going to have the funeral in the town we live in, which no one in the town knew these people. I didn't know these people. But my brother came to me and said, could we use your house after the funeral for the family to gather? Because I was so centrally located. It was in a time of financial loss, you know, slim time for us. And I did not know what I was going to do. And I started praying, oh, Lord, this is your home. I want to, you know, receive these people as if you were coming. But I have no food to feed this crowd. And I thought, well, I have potatoes, so I did potato salad. I had sugar, flour, eggs. Okay, I can make some dessert. But then my brother called me the morning of the funeral and said, someone at my work brought in this huge ham. Can you use it for after the funeral? I thought, oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we ended up just having, it was a simple meal, but it was plenty. And more importantly, the people from out of town felt welcomed and comfortable. Now, my brother never knew that it kind of put me on the spot, but God knew. Mm-hmm. And just giving it to him, I love that, how the Lord provided not just a tiny bit, but this huge, huge ham. And then there was leftovers for us, too. So that was fun. He cares about the little things, too.
He does. He does. That delights him to do that.
One thing that came to my mind, though, as Nancy was teaching about asking and the importance of asking for the right things and being specific and such, was the thought came to my mind that when we ask, whether it's God or a child to do something or a friend, we've got to leave the option open that the answer might be no. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think we have it in our mind that just because we've asked, then God is obligated. So what do we do when we ask, and it's a good thing, and God either says nothing yet, or the answer is no. What do you do with that?
We trust in his unfailing love. Our hearts will rejoice in his salvation, and we're going to sing because he's been good to us.
We trust in his character, not in his answer, mm-hmm. in the character of who he is.
And that comes from a history of walking with him,
right.
Don't you think?
Yes.
Of trusting him. And then the more we trust, the more we love him, the more we get to know him, and it's a wonderful cycle.
Yeah.
So no one ever frets and fusses and stews when the answer.
Oh yes,
none of us.
All
yeah.
along the way.
Right. Oh, I think all of us, if we're going to be honest, we would have to say all of us at some point walk through that. But I think it is part of the process that we are in as believers of remembering that whole thing of perspective, of what God's will is. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about the whole issue of gratitude versus an ungrateful heart, humility versus pride, dependence versus independence, as we wrestle with what God provides for us. And I think so many times that's where we are as believers, that we have to wrestle with who's going to win. Is it going to be our will or God's will for us? And so, yes, I think we do struggle with that because we have a heart that says, I want my will.
And I remember last year when I was struggling with an area of surrender in my life. And Holly, I remember that you said, you know, I said, but I've surrendered this to the Lord. I've surrendered this. And I said, so then, you know, I'm still struggling. And you said, surrender is not a one-time thing. It's a continual process. And I think that as we do grow in the Lord, get to know him more and more, it is a process of remembering how he's worked in our lives before. That trust factor grows deeper and deeper the longer we walk with him, the more that we give over those struggles to him. And surrender is much easier the next time. I'm not still struggling with that same area a surrender that I was last year. And not to say that I don't struggle with things, but that area, that issue, although that issue has not changed, but it is easier to trust, and I have surrendered that area now.
When we started in today on Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, I thought back to when I was first saved. And it's a little bit different perspective than what I'm hearing everyone say here, because I'm hearing you share stories about where you've already known the Lord and you're in a situation. And I started reading in Matthew, so it might have been day one or day two when I got to where I saw I was to ask him for my daily needs. And my question to him was, why? Why do I need to ask you for my food?
You had a job at the time.
Yes, I had a job. I was living in a home. Why did I need to do this? That seemed strange to me. But it said to do it, so okay. I thought about my day, okay? This is what I'd like to have for breakfast. This is what I'd like to have for lunch. I was a flight attendant with a major airline at that point in time, and I was commuting to work. And I needed a seat on the airplane to get to work. And no, those were not just provided for us. There had to be an empty seat. And I watched him time after time provide me with the last seat left on the airplane to get to work. And in thanking him then for my daily provisions and the food that he was giving me, I began to see that it was his hand that was providing. And I didn't see that before. And it grew my faith. And when I look at that now, to ask for our daily needs, I just think back to that time and how much my faith grew. Just from asking him for the things that had never dawned on me before to ask him for.
Now that you've known the Lord for a number of years, do you still ask him for your daily needs?
Yes, I do.
And what keeps you doing that and not taking it for granted that it will just be there?
I guess what keeps me doing it is because it says to.
That's one thing I love about you, Jade, is you have always just taken God's word very seriously ever since you came to faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Nancy, I did not know how to live. And I knew how to live as I was before.
In the other kingdom.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had no idea how to live as a child of the king. Mm. I had no idea how to live with a bridegroom that actually loved me and didn't want to beat me. Mm-hmm. And so I went to God's word to see how to live. And I still have to go there because still today, the world, even the church, will tell me differently and treat me differently than what God's word says about me.
As we were thinking earlier about God as the provider, about asking God to bless us with right things, the Lord just took me back to a point in my life where God began to convince us that he wanted to bless us with more children. And at the point where he convicted us about that in our life, that was not necessarily a good thing to me. And so my husband is a faith-filled man. And so when God said to him, I want to give you more children, and I want you to trust me with that, my husband said, sure, that's great. We'll just do that. And I am a problem solver. And so I move from A to B to C. And I did not really see how God could do that. We were living on a pastor's salary. I was pregnant with our fourth child at that point, and we were already struggling. And I thought, God, what if you give us more children? How would this happen? Can I love them? Will you provide for them? And I realized that sometimes we have to get on the same page with God about what really is a blessing and what isn't. Mm-hmm. Because in my vocabulary, that was not necessarily a blessing, but God knew that it was. And so I think so many times as believers, even in the realm of our children, sometimes if we're not careful, we just don't want to get on the same page with God about that. Mm-hmm. And we might miss some of the greatest blessings that God could ever possibly give us just because in our framework, that is not really a blessing.
And when we go through something like that, as Nancy said earlier, we need him more than anything he could give us.
Right.
And so, Jane, your refreshing take on going to God's word and trusting him like that, as a new Christian, I think we can all go back and remember how it seemed like no matter what prayer you pray when you're a new Christian, it gets answered because he wants to grow us in that faith. But as we get older in the Lord, sometimes the answer, like Maria said, is no, or we wait, or we just trust. He draws me to him with my petitions and my selfishness and my self-centeredness. He says, pray about everything, and so you do. But the surprise is when you come to him, and especially now when we come to him praying the Lord's Prayer, we get more of him, and it doesn't matter so much what was in his hand to give us, although we probably will end up getting it and more.
And realizing that God in his wisdom and sovereignty knows what things really would be blessings.
Right.
Holly discovered that you didn't think that more than four children would be a blessing, but God knew they would be. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine which of your fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth children you could bear to live without? And that sometimes the things we think would be blessings that we demand or insist on or throw a temper tantrum to get, God knows in his wisdom would not be a blessing to us in the long term or to his kingdom or for the glory of his name. So with the asking has to come that trust that God knows what really is best.
Right. And the bottom line really is that heart, because I know Kim made the same choice I made to allow God to bless her with children and had two kids, and that's what God gave her.
Mm-hmm.
But the heart was there to say, God, you know what is best. And I think so many times that's what we're missing, because we don't realize that God is the one finding us the airplane seat, that God is the one providing the meal or the money or the bread or the children, whatever is best in our life. And if we don't realize that it's coming from Him, our hearts are not going to be tender, and we're going to miss what God is showing us.
Like those Israelites, 40 years was mentioned today that God provided that manna every single day. And look what happened to them. I thought of that Psalm 106 passage where all that God had done for them, and they whined and they complained, and when they were in the desert and they wanted something, I don't know what it was, but they were putting God to the test. And so he says, so I gave it to them, what they asked for, but he sent a wasting disease upon them, or a leanness of heart or a leanness of soul. And isn't that a scary thought? And I'd always kind of condemn those Israelites going, you fools, look what all he did for you.
Why couldn't you see the big picture?
Yeah. Yes, and then yet, look at me and all he's done. I look at my track record with being on staff with Crusade for 30 years and how he's provided, because we raise our financial support. Not once has he ever let us down. Having a child with autism and going through all the stages and all the pain, and now another phase is coming of young adulthood, and what are we going to do with Stephanie as she grows older and we grow older, and who's going to care for her? And but you know, the track record on both those things that I just mentioned, I'm at a place in my life right now, maybe it comes with being over 50, but it's really the track record with God, seeing how he's provided again and again, and I don't have to fear. I do not. I might slip into it, but I don't have to, because I just know he's going to be faithful.
And if you do get fearful, you don't stay there, because you know who God is.
And I love that promise in Deuteronomy 31:8, where it says, I am the Lord your God. I go before you, and I am going to be with you, and I'm not going to leave you or fail you or forsake you. Therefore, do not be discouraged or afraid. And because I know he's such a loving God, he goes before me, he comes back to get me, he scouts the way, he holds my hand. He doesn't mind if I'm going to be discouraged or afraid. In fact, he knows I'm going to be. That's why he tells me not to be, so I don't have to be down on myself if I get discouraged or afraid. But there's a choice I can make not to be, because I know the truth of his word, the bread of life.
That's our friend Kathy Helvey, who modeled God-given joy through a prolonged illness that eventually took her life. On that recording, she and a group of Revive Our Hearts listeners were discussing the phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread." Nancy Lee DeMoss has been teaching through that phrase all week in a series called The Lord's Prayer, Part 2. Today's the final program in that series. Make sure to hear The Lord's Prayer, Part 3, coming up November 7th. You know, throughout this series, we've been offering a book of Puritan prayers called The Valley of Vision. Reading through and praying through these prayers will give you a new perspective. You'll approach God with a refreshing break from a 21st century, plugged-in, digitized mindset. We'll send this beautiful volume, Valley of Vision, when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of $20 or more. Ask for it when you call with your gift. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, Afghanistan has been called the most dangerous place to be born a woman. Kate McCoy decided to live in Afghanistan, visiting women in their homes and getting to know those who usually remained hidden behind their blue burqas. Hear the story beginning tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.